And our message is going to be about responding to the wonderful power of God. In the story of Acts chapter 3, where Peter is going to heal a man at the door of the temple, and then have a gathering of people where he proclaims our Lord Jesus to them. As we're thinking about the ideas presented here, I found pictures, but I never featured Vanuatu. I'm sorry, Rose. Vanuatu could have been on the pictures, but these are some pictures of Chuuk and Palau and other islands, which are beautiful to behold and look at. But in our readings of going through the book of Acts, we are remembering that in this book, we're having shown to us the mission of God. Mission of God to reach the world with his Son, Jesus Christ, in his name. And that's why his power comes to support the ministry. And Peter finds himself at the gate of the temple. Now, the temple gates are gone, and nobody really knows what that gate called Beautiful really looked like. This is called the Lion's Gate in the walls of the old city of Jerusalem, which is really a rebuild since 2,000 years ago, because the city of Jerusalem was razed to the ground. It's been rebuilt and built again. And so these old city gates are still there. But that gate called Beautiful is something kind of we have to imagine more. But anyway, it's a place where Peter and John could walk into the temple with others. And we've lost control. There we go. Peter and John, in that situation, are daring to act in faith, and they end up healing a man who is lame. They're filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, which has come upon them in the time of Pentecost, and they've been worshiping together, and they've been going up to the temple a number of times. And here they find this man who is lame. I just show a wheelchair as an illustration of it. I don't like to necessarily show a picture of a man who cannot walk, but he was born without the ability. And they're healing of him. When the lame man walks again, is able to stand, his ankle's strong, and his ability to be on his two feet again, amazing. It's a testimony to the grace of God found in Jesus Christ. What Peter and John do is they go into the Solomon's colonnade in this part of the temple, and this is an imaginary picture of an area where they could gather with a crowd, and the crowd of people massed together with them, and they're motivated by this wonderful deed. I just show a picture of the people in Jerusalem, obviously carrying a cross, they're Christians, but obviously the gathering together is to hear the gospel, to hear what Peter has to say about Jesus, and he's going to declare to them that Jesus is their Lord and Savior, that he is God himself who's come among them. And then Peter defends Jesus as the Messiah, and he declares, and he says to the Israelites that are gathered, they really did not know what they were doing when they crucified Jesus. This is actually a picture of Jesus on trial, and Pilate is saying, who should I deliver or release to you, Barabbas or Jesus? And the crowd is saying, crucify him, crucify him. So Peter's saying, here, this is what happened. You turned against him, you rejected him, but God has chosen him. They did not know what they were doing, but now they have the opportunity to respond. And Peter is clear. The encounter with Jesus demands a response. And, of course, the response he's talking about is part of this story, this repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Peter's acting out of that call to the people, because what they need to know is that Jesus is the revelation of God. He is his Messiah. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And through him, they will find salvation and deliverance. That choosing him or not choosing him makes all the difference in the world. This is this passage of Acts chapter 3, as it continues to illustrate the mission of God to the world and this mission that we are on. We are part of this mission today. Let us pray. Dear God, thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit that reminds us of how great you are, O God, as we were singing earlier. And this power of the Holy Spirit kindles our passion for our Lord Jesus Christ, because he helps remind us that your love endures forever and that you are forever faithful, forever strong, and forever with us. Lord, may we know this and have this illumined to us through the scriptures that we read as we go through Acts chapter 3. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, in this passage here, we're told about this story of Peter and John. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now, I think they probably did this regularly, because why not? The people are gathering in the temple to pray. It's a house of prayer for all the nations, so why wouldn't the Christians be there too? The ones who follow Jesus, they're praying there, and they're joining all the others. But in this moment, the Holy Spirit is going to be making a certain thing happen to really elevate their whole going up there to prayer to a new level. A man was there who was lame from birth, and he was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put, that's a really terrible statement, that, you know, the tragedy of it. He was placed there every day to beg for those going into the temple courts, asking for what he needed for his food, for his rent, because the man could not work, so therefore he was destitute and in need. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, I suppose this is what happens many times, you know, a Christian, you try to show a kind face to the world, right? And you may often be asked, you know, someone may approach you out of nowhere. I know at church I've always encountered the experience that someone will show up asking for a bus ticket to some town remote, far away, and ask for $25 in cash or something. They come to the church because they know the church has a generosity. And our church, too, has always been gathering money and dispersing money for needs, which include travel for people, maybe rent for people, maybe some medical bills. We do this through the work of our deacons. So they're being asked for this, asked for some money. And Peter looks straight at him. Now, this is the power of the Spirit working in Peter, because this is going to make it different than just transactional. It's going to be a ministry event, an event of declaring Jesus Christ. He looks straight at him, as did John. Now, they're looking at him. It's not just avoiding him. Maybe the man was also looking down, you know, putting his hand up, who knows, in his shame. And so Peter says, "Look at us." So they're going to have an encounter. They're going to look at each other. The man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Walk. So he took him by the right hand, and he helped them up. And instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate, called Beautiful. Very specific. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. The wonder and amazement of the Holy Spirit moving and something new happening. While the man held on to Peter and John, like, delighted, with joyful, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. That's the picture I was showing you. When Peter saw this, he said to them, "Fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? He's doing this rhetorically. He's asking a question to get their attention and to begin to turn the conversation to the revelation of God. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, he's Jewish, they're Jewish, the God of our fathers has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. Barabbas, crucify him. Peter's reminding them of the history of what happened on Good Friday. And he is saying, but you killed the author of life. I mean, this is tragic. Again, tragic as the lame man. But here you killed the author of life. But, the big but, and this really important thing of Peter's testimony. God raised him from the dead. This is the crucial element of their proclamation in the book of Acts, is that God has raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you can all see. Now, fellow Israelites, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders, but this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Messiah would suffer. Isaiah 53. If you ever are trying to witness to a Jewish person, just have them read Isaiah 53. See, right there in Isaiah, it says, by his wounds we are healed. It is intended that he suffer. But now, respond. You have this opportunity. Repent, then, and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out. No longer struggling to get rid of the sinful load that you cannot ever eliminate by your own work. May your sins be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Messiah who has been appointed by you, or appointed for you, sorry. He's been appointed for you, even Jesus. Heaven must receive him, he's in heaven, until the time comes for God to restore everything, as he promised long ago through his holy prophets. In other words, there was a first coming. Peter is proclaiming there will be a second coming that has not occurred yet. For Moses said, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. You must listen to everything he tells you. Anyone who does not listen to him will be completely cut off from their people. Indeed, beginning with Samuel, all the prophets who have spoken have foretold these days. And you are heirs of the prophets and of the covenant God made with your fathers. He said to Abraham, though your offspring, all through your offspring, all peoples on earth will be blessed. When God raised up his servant, he sent him first to you to bless you by turning each of you from your wicked ways. And so, the reading of Acts 3 ends with that call to repentance. And Peter is involved in the Missio Dei. That's another way of saying the mission of God. And here we are with a whole new stage in the mission of God. In other words, in Acts 3, things are being elevated to a new level. The mission of God, which is to go to the world, is starting right here in Jerusalem at the temple with a simple man who is lame and he's healed. What had happened to lead up to this moment is that there had been a gathering in chapter 2 who then experienced the awesome power of the pouring out of the Holy Spirit from heaven on their holy company of 120 people gathered in that upper room. Now, what they experienced was a power of a shaking house, a loud sound. It's like a pair of fighter jets overhead, which you may have heard in the COPA exercises. And it's a phenomenon, and a phenomenon connected with it that looked like fire, which allowed them to begin using languages in a supernatural way. Because these people speaking in all the languages of the known world that were there gathered in Jerusalem, they're not translators working for the United Nations. They're just ordinary people who had not prepared for this, and the Holy Spirit just touched them and gave them power. So Peter was preaching, and he explained, and he made clear, and he helped many to see that Jesus was calling them. And so many answered. Jesus is the cornerstone. In this first chapter 2, preaching, before this, 3,000 were saved. Then they were worshiping together, and people were added to their gathering day by day. And Jesus, as the cornerstone, is building up the beautiful church. This is a wonderful illustration. It's a picture from Barcelona in Spain of the Sagra Familia, I think they call it. It's an unfinished church, really. They're still building it. They've been building it for decades. And those power cranes are over it. But it's the whole idea of the church being built up. And it's not stopped to this day. And it's not the end of it here. Peter is actually part of this building. And he is going up to Jerusalem, to the temple. They always said it was, Hillary was even asking me this morning, you see a psalm of ascent in the Bible, you know. Those psalms were written because the people of Israel were going up to the temple, and Jerusalem is a higher elevation, so they would always be ascending up to Jerusalem. And then even now, the temple of Jerusalem was most likely higher than where people were living. And so Peter was going to climb up the stairs, perhaps at this gate called Beautiful, along with the other people, along with other Israelites, going to this time of prayer at 3 o'clock. And they're just doing what they do in Jerusalem, gathering there for worship in that holy place, the temple. There they're paying homage to God. They're entering the temple precincts and engaging in prayer and worship and discussion. So there you see it. That's Peter more than happy to begin to share with them on one level. But then here is a special moment in chapter 3. A man, lame from birth, is known to the temple devotees. They all go there with our hearts seeking God. They're seeking God with their hearts. They're wanting to go and be closer to Him. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a temple for worship. And they pass by this guy. And what Peter, in this miracle, is going to show them is that God has come near. That God is so near, He's going to go beyond this man's request for gold or silver. His hand out. Or looking to trade something for food or rent. And Peter says, what I have is better. And so, inspired by the Holy Spirit, who is in control of the mission of God to the world, Peter is willing to be an agent at a time for an act of wonder and power. So he is pursuing God's mission, and he knows he's doing it by the power of the Holy Spirit. And just as there had been in the life and ministry of Jesus Christ, there were acts of wonder and power, there are now going to continue to be acts of wonder and power done by the apostles. And this is a grand illustration of it. This mission of the Lord is going to illustrate that there is power in the name of Jesus. It's a moment of proclamation. It's a moment of testing the anointing of God, which is strong at this time. The anointing of God is strong in the apostles. They're going to do acts because they're going to be spreading the kingdom of God. And remember that Jesus said it's like a mustard seed, the tiniest of seeds, but it's going to grow into a mighty tree. And this is part of it. The power of the name of Jesus has to be illustrated to these people. And God does not want His work to be restricted, so it's going to be taken to a new level. He wants the good news of Jesus Christ to become the main talking point in Jerusalem and the temple at this time. That's what the Holy Spirit wants for the mission of God. And of course, in this experience, I haven't gone on to read the next chapter 4, where Peter comes under pressure. He's taken and put under arrest, and he's told to stop proclaiming the name of Jesus. There will be a fight, a pushback. There will be a conflict. There's going to be a counterattack by the enemy. Remember and expect that as you work in the mission of God, as you're working in the power of the Holy Spirit, there is going to be opposition. But at the moment that Peter has with this lame man at the temple gate, he does what the Holy Spirit has given him to do. He reaches out his hand. He takes the lame man by his hand. He helps him up, fully confident in the restorative power of the Holy Spirit. He has seen it happen time and again in the life of Jesus. He has seen amazing things occur. Now, having been convinced that this was a Holy Spirit moment, he feels the power and surging of the Holy Spirit, him and John, and he is ready to do the same. He says, "What I have, I give you in the name of Jesus Christ. Get up and walk." The name of Jesus is unique and special. The name of Jesus is a strong tower. He's the Master. He's the Savior. He's the Prince of Peace. These are all names and descriptions of Jesus. And it's a wonderful name. So when Peter reaches to him, he's involved with this Holy Spirit mission. And he is inspired to do this. And he reaches out to the man, and the man's feet and ankles become strong. He jumps to his feet and he begins to walk. He was walking and jumping, which is an awesome thing for someone who was born with that congenital defect. Realizing this, the people around were filled with wonder and amazement, looking at this man and his restoration, which is really just a way to draw the people in so they can hear the proclamation. God does not do these wonders and signs all the time, but he has not stopped doing them either. People from the mission field, I've had them tell me about incidents that occurred when they went to some remote tribe in Africa. And these things can happen. Miracles can happen. People can be healed. And they will come as an illustration to them that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And the people are in awe of God. They are filled with wonder and amazement. Now, wonder is used 5 times in Acts chapter 2. The wonders of God are experienced in the ministry of Jesus Christ, Peter says in his sermon. And it's declared that the wonders of God done in Jesus Christ are shared in all the various tongues and languages to the people. The wonders performed by Jesus Christ are remembered. And then you go to chapter 2 at the end, and they are worshiping together, and there are wonders being done by the apostles. And now there's a new wonder done in chapter 3, right in front of their eyes. And the people are filled with wonder and amazement, and they're filled with an awe of God. Perhaps the most important verse in Acts chapter 2 is 22. Jesus Christ is accredited by God through the wonders he performed, including making the lame to walk. Now, in Acts chapter 14, later in the mission, Paul is ministering at this point in the city of Iconium. Paul and Barnabas have gone into the synagogue, and they spend considerable time there speaking boldly for the Lord, who confirmed the message of his grace by enabling them to perform signs and wonders. So it does not stop there. It is accrediting our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a way of stamping the fact that he is the Lord. He is the Lord of glory, and we belong to him. And ultimately, having faith in him and trusting in Jesus Christ means you are going to be one with him in his resurrecting power. You're going to be raised when you die to go to heaven, to be with Jesus forever. And that is the final, ultimate healing. Any other healing is just temporary. You know, Lazarus was raised from the tomb by Jesus, and then he died, and he was gone. Other people were healed, like the man, lame man who is able to stand and walk, but he dies too. But the ultimate most beautiful thing that happens in the transformation of God in our faith is that we will believe and trust and belong to Him forever. And whatever else is done is up to the Holy Spirit. It's really up to the Holy Spirit and God. It's in God's sovereign work. So, standing in this tradition, a new wonder is performed by Peter and John in Jesus' name. And Peter uses irony. Why are you surprised? He says, this is nothing. Why are you surprised? This was evident in Jesus' ministry amongst us. We heard about these things. People would gather in great crowds to Jesus to experience the healing and the wonders. But Peter says, it's not from us. It's not our being special. It's from Jesus, whom you handed over, whom you disowned, whom you delivered for execution. God is doing a new thing now. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. It is Jesus' name, this is a quote from Peter, it is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you all can see. God is doing a new thing. You acted in ignorance, but God does not blame you. Now that is a statement, I say, which the church has some shame accredited to it, because at one point began to believe there was a blood libel for the people of the Jews. Not what Peter's saying. Peter's saying, you did all this, but God is giving you an opportunity, and he will continue to give opportunities. So there's no basis for an anti-Semitism in the church, and the church should be ashamed of any kind of anti-Semitism that was done in the name of the church, which has been done. But here Peter says, you acted in ignorance. God does not blame you. This is the fulfillment of Old Testament prophets. So repent and turn to God. Experience the time of refreshing that comes because God forgives you and grants you his blessing through Jesus Christ. Heaven must receive him until he comes again a second time for the final restoration. So he's saying, trust in Jesus. That's his message. Trust Jesus. He is worthy. He is worthy. He has been prophesied about. He has come and been accredited by God. This miracle is another part of it. In Jesus' name, stand up and walk. And it's through faith in him that you are healed. You're going to be healed of the sin sickness of your soul. There is a balm in Gilead to heal my sin sick soul. It's a beautiful hymn. There is a balm in Gilead to heal my sin sick soul, which is Jesus. Jesus is the name, and he is the one. So you receive then faith as a gift from God, and that is a work that he does. Again, faith comes in those who respond, who receive. But he says this is an opportunity. And he's saying heaven will receive Jesus, but he will come back. He will come back, but at the moment, focus on the name of Jesus. Realize that he is the bread of life. He's the Son of Man. He's the Holy One. He's the King of Kings. He's the Mediator. He's the resurrection and the life. Jesus is going to come back. So, this is a picture of Jesus returning. Jesus is coming back. And in my view, that will come as a moment we should all work for and pray for. I do not subscribe to the church being taken out of this thing. I think we're just going to have to go on through in faithfulness. Now, that's a whole other debate. And maybe someday we'll have a sermon on the rapture and that kind of thing. But, you know, we have to continue on in faithfulness to the Lord our God. He is continuing his mission to the world. And the church is part of that, as we minister to each other, as we share with each other. Trust Jesus. Peter refers to Moses and Samuel, saying their words point to Jesus. Jesus is proof that their words are coming true. The Jewish audience in the temple are the heirs of all those promises. They are the beneficiaries of the covenant. This is now the promise made true of Abraham through your offspring. Jesus is a Jewish man. The world will be blessed. Namely, they can turn to Jesus Christ, know him as Savior and Lord, and enter into heaven. It was God's set purpose to send this servant directly to the Jews so that they may respond to him, that they may experience faith, this gift of God, and trust and be transformed. Peter and the Jewish audience are having a serious moment. But in this declaration is all the theology you need. In Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him, you will be completely healed. Running through time, we must recognize that God's power will always support the confession that Jesus Christ is Lord and that he's the one through whom we are saved. Is power necessary? No, only faith is. Do you trust and believe? Then you are going to receive from the Lord what he has to give. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Because he pardons me from all my wrongdoings, he heals all my ills. He satisfies me with all good in the prime of life. He renews my youth like an eagle's, so that with all my being, I can bless his holy name. Amen. Dear Lord, thank you that we can celebrate our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. He is. He is truly the one through whom we find our peace with you, because he's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. But also, Lord, we never stop believing and trusting that you are a God who answers prayer, who hears what we say and moves among that situation. Lord, even so, even as we trust you as the healer, as we trust you as the God who moves heaven and earth for your sake, that you will allow our faith to move mountains and remove obstacles and barriers that we thought were impossible to do your work. You are also the God who will be with us as we travel through valleys and struggle through trials and have tragedies and experience the great burdens of life, which don't seem to disappear with our prayers, no matter how long we pray. Lord, help us to persevere and to be strong in walking the walk of faith day by day and continuing to believe and trust in our Lord Jesus to deliver us from all evil and to be with us to give us life, life to its fullest. In his name we walk, in his name we talk, and may we continue to follow him always. In Jesus' name, amen.